Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get to the Word.
Evangelism revival starting this Thursday at 6 o'clock. Friday at 6 o'clock. And Sunday morning starting at 9 o'clock. Amen?
Right.
We're going to get some tools to really make him known. Amen?
Amen.
This month has been designated Make Him Known Through Giving. And on your bulletins, there is a message that God has led me to do something different this morning. And we're going to be talking about this morning, God says, choose joy. God says, choose joy. And we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 8. Verses 9 and 10. Would you please stand in reverence to the Lord? Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 10. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. 1, 2, 3.
Nehemiah, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. All the people have been weeping, and they listened to the word of the law. Nehemiah said, go and rejoice to the soup and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. And again, the Lord has changed this message to God says, choose joy. God says, choose joy. And in this text today, God is telling us to don't sorrow. In this text today, God is telling us to don't starve. And in this text, God is saying, don't sap or don't snap. And we want Christians to know that Christians should depend on the joy of the Lord for their strength. Christians should depend on the joy of the Lord for their strength. I'm not into many of the games that you played when many of you grew up. Many of you look at our generation and you think our generation lack imagination because most of the games that we played were on computers. I'm the beginning of that generation that didn't like to go outside. I probably spent more time on my couch playing computer games than anything. But there's one game that many of us all know, regardless of the generations, And it's a game called Simon Says. A game called Simon Says. And Simon Says is a game that we played, and in order to win the game, you had to just simply do what Simon says. Simon would say, stand up. Simon would say, jump in one spot. Simon would say, twirl around, and then stop. And if you stop, you lost the game, because you're only supposed to do what Simon says. And I couldn't help but to wonder and know that there is a spiritual warfare that's going on in the heavens. And God is saying for you to do some things. And as long as you do what God says, then you can win at this thing that we call life. But there would always be, in the midst of God saying something, a voice coming and saying the opposite, and saying it as authoritatively as Simon is saying. And if you don't get an acute ear for the voice of Simon, or in our context, the voice of God, then you can lose at this thing called life. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And God is saying to somebody this morning, God says, choose joy. Let me say that again. God says this morning, choose joy. Because you don't do what God says, you're going through too much right now. And if you don't choose joy, you can do what the devil is trying to tell you to do, which is to lose your mind. If you don't choose joy, you do what the devil is trying to tell you, to take your own life. If you don't do what God says do, you won't make it through such a time as this. God says this morning, choose joy. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God says, choose joy in Jesus' name. Point number one, don't sorrow. Well, this text, let me give you a little background information about this text. This text is a very unique text because God was doing an incredible work in the life of Nehemiah and the people of God. The city was destitute. It was torn down, but God had moved in the heart and the mind of someone that was away from the city, someone he'd given some influence in this life, a cupbearer who would have the audience of a king. And this cupbearer would say a popcorn prayer before the king, because the king noticed his consonants, and the king asked him, what's his problem? What's going on? Because when you have folk checking your food so that you won't die. Right. Hello, somebody. You pay attention to how they look, because if they don't look right, if they don't look right, something could be wrong. Hello, somebody. Something could be up. So he noticed that. But he said a little popcorn prayer, and he told the king what the problem was. I have a murder for my hometown, Paul's Valley. I'm from Oklahoma City. I'm from New York, or I'm in New York and in Oklahoma City. But God has given me a burden for my hometown, Paul's Valley. And he told me, had a little conversation, and he got the first governmental grant that I knew of. Hello, somebody. He got a grant from the king to build the walls of Jerusalem. He took secular money and used it for a sacred cause. Hello, somebody. Oh, and at this time they were building the wall. They were building the wall. And then not only were they building the wall, but they were building into the people. Don't you know sometimes building something can help build into the spirit of the people? Hello, somebody. Let me say, because somebody missed it. I think one person probably got it. Oh, when you're building something, sometimes you can build something, but you build something, you're building in the spirit and in the hearts of the people, because you are showing them how powerful our God truly is. Hello, somebody. And as they were doing that, oh, not only was he resurrecting the walls of the city, but he was resurrecting a relationship with God. Hello, somebody. And that's one thing, as I shared yesterday, is Bill Cummings had a desire and wanted us to build not only in word, but in deed, and he gave so that we can build. And some folk think that the building is just about the building. No, the building is not just about the building. The building is about the heart and the minds and the souls of the people who could see God work in awesome and in mighty ways, and in ways that, oh, nobody can understand. Oh, in ways that would blow their minds. So much so, as they were resurrecting the wall, they were resurrecting a relationship with God. So much so that they began to do what I call it in this chapter, Nehemiah, oh, chapter 8, they began to do expository preaching. In other words, they were explaining to the people what the word says, and they understood what the word says, and they understood it so much so that they began to mourn because they saw that they were falling short. Hello, somebody. See, it's dangerous to get expository teaching because, oh, it can explain to you exactly where you are and who you are. Oh, it's dangerous to get some teaching. Hello, somebody. And that's the last thing the devil wants us to have, is some teaching. He wants to disrupt the teaching. Oh, but in this text, they understood what the word of God said, so much so that they began to what? Sorrow. Ooh, have you ever sorrowed hearing the word of God? I know I have. Let me stand up, because I was falling short. I continue to fall short. Oh, and I sorrow a lot of times because I'm falling short. I see myself. Oh, we talked about that mirror last Sunday, about looking into that mirror, the mirror of God's word. And when you look in that mirror, you see how messed up you are. Oh, you think you're looking nice, but you look in the mirror of God's word and it looks like you're a Picasso. Hello, somebody. Everybody can't except Picasso, because Picasso stuff was screwed, you know. But they looked into the word, and they looked into the word, and it caused them to mourn. And you would have thought that God would have said, that's right, you go ahead and mourn because you've fallen short. You go ahead and mourn because you can't do nothing right. You go ahead and mourn because, oh, you're bad. You go ahead and mourn because there's nothing good in you. No, God did not say that. Hello, somebody. I got some good news this morning to somebody, especially those of us who are falling short. Oh, God says, don't mourn. Hello, somebody. Oh, you blew it last week. You blew it last month. Oh, you blew it big time. Oh, and God says, don't mourn. Hello, somebody. Don't mourn because of the mercy and the grace of God. Don't mourn. Hello, somebody. But also, we can take up that principle and we can apply it to what many of us are going through. And many of us sit here today coming from troubled situation, troubled times. We lost loved ones. Oh, and we've lost many loved ones. Oh, somebody may have lost a job, or you're about to lose your mind. Oh, and you're mourning the situation. God says this morning, oh, you don't have to mourn anymore. And maybe that's why, oh, the song singer said, I decided to cry my last tear yesterday. Oh, because there be some people can go through so much that, oh, you just got to stop it. Hello, somebody. Right. You just gotta snap out of it. Because if you don't stop it, and if you don't snap out of it, oh, you're gonna lose your mind. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, snap out of it. In Jesus' name. Yeah, the devil does have you down, and the devil is beating you and kicking you and mocking you and scorning you and trying to get you to quit, trying to get you to throw in the towel. But there comes a time where you just gotta say, devil, take your best lick. Ooh. Ooh. Be careful when you say that. You better make sure that Jesus is on your side. But the devil is trying to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. And he's doing his job. And he's trying to steal your joy. Trying to take away your peace. Trying to get you to lose your mind. And he's doing everything that God would allow him to do to get you to quit. Oh, and God says this morning, oh, don't sorrow.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Don't sorrow. The text says, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. This day, and this day for us is holy to the Lord our God Almighty. And God says today, oh, don't mourn. Don't weep. Hello, somebody. A great illustration of this is David. We learned about him in Sunday school. He's being a good example. And when David was caught, when David was cold busted by the prophet in Samuel chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 12, he was cold busted. He had disgusted behavior, and the prophet came to him, and the prophet said and told him that baby that he was going to have by Bathsheba, that baby would die. Hello, somebody. And he told him that this would happen. And don't you know that David literally lost his mind? The text, and you go back and read it later, the text said that he refused to be comforted. Hello, somebody. He refused. He was mourning, and the people tried to help him, and he refused to be helped. Get up, David. Oh, but he literally was losing his mind. Hello, somebody. Yeah, the king who was supposed to be a symbol of hope. The king who was supposed to be a illustration of God here on earth. And he lost his mind, so much so that he lost his mind before the child died. Okay. And when the news came that the child died, they didn't want to tell him because they said he's tripping like he is now. What's going to happen? Oh, when they find out the child really did die. Oh, they didn't want to tell him because he had lost his mind. But there's something that happened when they told him. And when they told him, something happened. What happened when they told him? In verse 20 it says, then David got up from the ground. Wait a minute. After this, he washed himself. After that, he put on some of those fancy lotions that Sister Eton gets from Bath and Body Works. I think, I don't know where it is. Those fancy lotions, and changed his clothes. And what did he do? Oh, he went into the house of the Lord, and he began to worship. Hello, somebody. Somebody, you've been down. You've been in sorrow. Oh, they told them that you were about to lose your mind. They told, oh, that you couldn't take no more. And the devil took that which you thought he would take, that which you thought would make you lose your mind. But there's something that happened on the inside of you after it happened. And you got your mind back, and you decided that I will not sorrow. I'm going to get up off this ground. I'm going to wash myself. I'm going to put lotions on myself. I'm going to change my clothes, and not only that, but I'm going to go to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow, devil.
Hallelujah! I took the best or the worst of what you could take from me, and I decided not to sorrow. I decided to get myself together. I decided to come back to my right mind. I decided to stop looking like a bum. I decided, to stop smelling like a bum. I decided to get out of my house clothes and get in my church clothes and go to the house of the Lord so that I can be there and I can bow down and worship him. Hello, somebody. God is trying to tell somebody, you better get up. God is trying to tell somebody, you better take a shot. You better shave. You better get in your right mind, because I am still alive. You lost the best thing that you had, but I'm still here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, don't sorrow. In Jesus' name. Don't sorrow. In Jesus' name. I took the worst that the devil had to throw at me. He was trying to take my life. He was trying to take my mind. He thought he had me because I was hemmed up. I was in a corner. Oh, he had me. Oh, it happened. Oh, but what happened was not what he thought would happen. He thought I would lose my mind. But I decided to get up. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you better get up in Jesus' name. You better get up and don't sorrow. Not only that, do you not sorrow, but don't starve. Hello, somebody. Because in this text, Nehemiah said, after this, he told them to not grieve. And then he told them to do what? To go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Oh, when the devil takes you out, one of the first things he do is he try to take your appetite. One of the ways you want to know whether Pastor Eton is doing fine and doing well is all you got to do is ask the question, have you ate today? Hello, somebody. And if I haven't eaten, there is something wrong. So I have to tell my wife all the time, I'm a grown man, I need at least 3 meals a day. I need 3 a day. I need a full meal, then that's why I'm in the gym now. So, but anyway. If you want to know whether I'm doing fine, just check my appetite. And somebody here today, you've gone through something that took your appetite, and literally you're starving yourself to death. Because something or someone that you love was taken, and the devil took your appetite, and he killed him, and he's trying to kill you. Hello, somebody. Trying to get you not to eat. And the text says this morning, that not only are you not to starve, but it's really time to celebrate.
Well,
hello, somebody. Because when I eat choice food, I'm celebrating. I told you about Sister Eton's dinner at Cafe Brazil or something like that in Fort Worth, Texas. Boy, that was some good food. Choice food. Boy. Even cheap me. I said it was almost worth it. But it was choice. I had not had so much good meat to eat in my life. It was choice. And God is saying for somebody here today, I don't want you to go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal today. The devil tried to starve you, but now it's time for you to celebrate, and it's time for you to go out and eat at the best restaurant that you can afford. It's time for you to get the best kind of food that you can afford, the best kind of food that you can cook. It's time to celebrate. I said it's time to celebrate. Oh, and when you decide to celebrate, you told the devil in a frenzy. The devil said, wait a minute. I thought everything I had at him, and I thought I had him. He was at the brink of being broken and destroyed, at the brink of committing suicide, at the brink of but something got a hold of him. Something got a hold of him. Something got a hold of her and reversed the curse and put that person in reverse. And now he or she is in the household of the Lord. But not only that, but they're going to leave the household of the Lord and celebrate a birthday deacon, or celebrate a birthday that trustee in the back. Celebrate, oh, when he thought he had your life, when he thought he had you down, when he thought that you couldn't make it, that you couldn't take it, God is saying, oh, you better not suffer. You better eat in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, it's time to celebrate in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Time to celebrate in Jesus' name. After David went to the household of the Lord, it says, then he what? Then he went to his own house. And then what did he do? Did he throw the covers over his head? Did he get back down? Oh, what did he say? He says, and at his request, they served him food and he ate. Hello, somebody. Before they couldn't get him to eat anything, before they were concerned, before they thought he wouldn't make it, before he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't do anything with this. But the text says, at his request, oh, he decided that after he went to the household of faith and began to worship, after that happened, he decided to go to his own house and to throw down to eat in Jesus' name. That's what Nehemiah told them today on that day. Don't mourn. Don't sorrow. Don't starve. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink and send to those who have nothing prepared. Hello, somebody. Just be willing to share. Hello, somebody. Your good fortune. Be willing to share. Don't just get something for yourself. Get something and be willing to share. Hello, somebody. God says today to choose joy. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor. God says, choose joy in Jesus' name. He says, don't sorrow. Don't starve.
All right.
And don't sap, which means to lose strength. Or don't snap, to lose everything, lose your mind. He goes on to say in that text, do not grieve. Why do I not grieve? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Song singer says, his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Right now, God is trying to be your own personal footprints in the sand, because he wants to carry you this morning. You are about to give up, but God says, I'm going to meet you at your greatest need, and I'm going to give you something that you need. And the something that you need this morning to make it through such a time as this is something that's called joy. Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I thank God for joy, because joy is different than happiness. Oh, I'll bring you a song about love and happiness. Oh, you can have that love and happiness. this one day, and the next day you get a Dear John letter, and that same song you were singing to that woman, she'll be singing to somebody else, because love and happiness is not enough in this life. Oh, you've got to have more than that. Oh, you've got to have joy, because joy is not conditional to the circumstance. Joy, oh, is something that you can have regardless of the circumstance. Joy is like that peace in the middle of the storm when everything else is falling down around you and destruction is all around you. Oh, but God says, I'll give you joy, the kind of joy that the world can't give, and the kind of joy that the world can't take away. And that at the end of yourself, when you thought you were about to lose it all, you'll find that three-letter word, joy, that will pick you up and carry you from that time of mourning, that time of devastation, that time of loss, and will give you strength to carry on, will give you strength to wake up and get up in Jesus' name, because everybody that wakes up can't get up. And God is saying to you, I got some joy for you to get to enable you to wake up and to get up, to enable you to carry on through such a time as this. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God has joy for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God has joy for you. I like the end of the story that David had to say in 2 Samuel 12. Verse 22, because they didn't know, they couldn't understand. He was literally doing stuff backwards. This is backwards. And they asked him the question, when up in 21, 20, said, when the child was about to die, the Eton's translation, you lost your mind. So much so that we thought and were afraid to tell you that he died. Oh, but when you found out that the child died, you got up. You began to worship. You got up and then began to eat. You got up and began to get yourself right again. What happened? Why could you do such a thing? And this is what David said. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fast and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. Oh, what faith. Who knows? Oh, who knows whether God will change the situation and he'll change the circumstance. Why they're alive, we pray and we ask God to touch. We pray and we ask God to deliver. We pray when they are alive. When Mr. Cumming was alive, we prayed and we believed that God could touch, that God could move, that God could heal. Oh, we believe by faith, saying, maybe God, just maybe God will. But God didn't. Hello, somebody. Oh, really? Did he? I ask people to be careful when you ask me to pray, especially for healing. Because when we go on to the heavens, guess what? The ultimate healing. Hello, somebody. I said the ultimate healing. Sometimes we have grandma on her deathbed not ready to go because you're not ready. And even if God heals her, she'll still be sick. Oh, she'll still be on the medicine. She still have issues and trouble. Oh, but when God does an ultimate healing, guess what? Oh, in heaven. Oh, guess what? In heaven, there's no sick man in heaven. In heaven, guess what? There's no sick bodies in heaven. Guess what? In heaven, oh, there's no hospitals in heaven. In heaven, There's no medicines in heaven. In heaven, there's no machines to keep us alive. In heaven, in heaven. Oh, when you go to heaven, you get the ultimate healing. Oh, Jesus described a new body that you'll have. You have that new body that you once had when you was a teenager. Oh, you once had a six-pack. Now you got a keg. The longer that you live, you get more sick, more broken down. But in heaven, I said in heaven, that's the ultimate healing. And David prays. He prayed that prayer. Maybe God will heal this child. Oh, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Guess what? He could have been gracious.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
That's true faith. If you want to make it through such a time as this, you know that he could have been gracious. He could have touched. He could have delivered. He could have set free. But he didn't. And I like this last verse in 23. But now he is dead. Why should I go on fasting?
Well.
Hello, somebody. Somebody better get this to make it through such a time as this. Why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? Hello, somebody. Can I bring him back again? While he was alive, there was hope. But now, can I bring him back again?
All right.
But I like this, boy. I like this. He says, I was. Go to him. I will go to him, but he will not return to me. I will go to him, but he won't return to me. I'm so glad that when I die in the Lord, oh, when I die in the Lord, and my loved ones die in the Lord, I'm so glad that there'll be a great family reunion in the sky where I can go visit those people that I loved, those people, oh, that I love so much and so dearly. There's going to be a great family reunion in the sky, and those that I love will be there for me. My grandmama is going to be there for me. Oh, my grandmother, the one that I love, is going to be there. Oh, in Jesus' name, I can't go right now. I've got to stay here, and I've got to live on, because God has a plan for me right now. But I'm so glad that I have something to look forward to. I'm so glad I have someone to look forward to. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I must go to them. Oh, who are them? Maybe it's Deacon Floyd. I must go to him or her. But Sister Terry Clark, oh, the Peters, I must go to them. Roy C. Johnson, I must go to them. I said, I must go to them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, give God a hand clap of praise up in here. Up in here, up in here. Lastly, I'm going to tell this story, and we're going to open the doors of the church. Deacon Melvin had something interesting to say on his visit with Brother Cummings. He said Brother Cummings asked, who is that with you? Who is that with you? And Deacon Melvin said, the nurse is not here. Hello, somebody.
Yeah, right.
Who's that with you? The one thing that a lot of folks say when they are about to die, they began to see people.
All right.
And these may be people that they can't recognize, that they don't know. It could be great-grandmama glorified. Hello, somebody. Those saints of old who are there to worship them on. Hello, somebody. Who's that with you? Who's that with you? And then that's been saying, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I know it's been said many times when people who go on to be with the Lord. I
Who's that with you? Who's that with you? When they're ready to go on, to be with the Lord, who's that with you? I think it has a little something to do with what David is saying in this text. I can't bring anybody back. It don't do any through me any good now to fast.
Right.
But I'll go to him. Because he will not return to me. All eyes closed and heads bowed, saints are praying. Deacons, will you come? Eyes closed, heads bowed, saints are praying. Jesus Christ in that Garden of Gethsemane. Even though he struggled in that Garden of Gethsemane, Hebrews tell us that he had to choose joy. For the joy set before him, he was able to endure the cross and despise the shame. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In that Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. He asked others to pray for him, but they couldn't pray or didn't pray. But in that garden, he had to say, nevertheless, Lord, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. His will was that Jesus would have to die. Not only die, but when he left that Garden of Gethsemane, he would have to be crucified. Beaten beyond measure, mocked and scorned. They put a crown of thorns on his head and a cross on his back. But the joy of the Lord was his strength. He carried that cross as far as he could take it. Made it to that hill called Golgotha, nailed him to the cross. It was joy that kept him nailed to that cross. They raised him up between two thieves as if to say he was one. Even one thief could find no fault in him. He had to say, Father, take my spirit. I give my spirit unto thee, because they couldn't take his life. He had to give it away. He gave his life away, and they took him down off of that cross, put him in a tomb. He laid there for 3 days. But I'm so glad that the Bible tells us that he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. He got up on the third day with all power in his hands. He got up so that you can get up today, this morning. I said he got up so that you could get up today. You thought you wasn't going to make it, but God says that you can. Get up. Get up. For that Christian is saying, get up. I'm giving you the strength, it's joy. There's someone that doesn't know him, and he's saying to you this morning, get up and get your life right with Christ.
Yes.
Give your life to Christ. Believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died and was buried on the third day. He got up with all power in his hands. If you can believe that today, then you can get up out of your sins and be saved. You can come forward right now in Jesus' name. Get up. Whatever your decision is, you may have accepted Christ but hadn't been baptized. Get up.
Get up.
You may be here today. You don't have a church home and you thought that you could do it by yourself and all alone. God says to get up and join this church. You can't do it on your own, no matter how you think this church is.
Right.
God says, and you can't do it on your own.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Etana. I'm your host for today's program. Before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet Him on His terms, and His terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior Lord. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how He's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. And I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Bethlehem.